Good evening. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. And tonight the theme is a tribute to Dave Blood. Dave was the bass player in the Dead Milkmen. And we're going to play a tribute to him. He took his life a week and a half ago. We're going to discuss his life and history, and we're going to deal with the subject of suicidality and play some music, as well as a lot of vintage Dead Milkmen recordings and some of the solo recordings by some of the band members after the demise of the Dead Milkmen in the mid-90s. Going to start off with Black Flag doing Depression.
Don't know if I can do it. Keep me alive. Keep me again, I do. Gonna kill myself because of you.
Hello, this is Ryan Primack from Poison the Well. Depression is the leading cause of suicide, and it's treatable. No one should have to suffer alone. Help for you or those you love is just a phone call away. Call 1-800-SUICIDE for help. The National Hopeline Network is free and reachable 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Thank you so much, and take care of yourselves and each other.
Go!
You heard Curved Air doing Ultra Vivaldi. Poison the Well did Crystal Lake. Before that, a public service announcement for the National Helpline by Ryan from Poison the Well, from the one of the Plea for Peace benefit compilations that benefit the National Helpline. The Damned did Suicide. Sly and the Family Stone did Life, and started off with two tracks by Black Flag, Depression and Room 13. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. It's on live every Sunday night from 9 to 11 or so East Coast Time USA at RadioVolta.org, and relay broadcast live at AtheistNetwork.com, where you can hear the show repeat broadcasted Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 7 a.m. and 9 p.m., also East Coast Time USA. And if there's technical trouble, you can try infidelguy.com, as well as repeat broadcasted, oh so appropriately, on Sunday mornings when the show is back-to-back with the great Hour of Slack. And also broadcast live at two independent radio stations in the state of Washington, one in Olympia and one in Seattle. If you want to write to me, write Rev Bookburn, care of Quayle, as in Dan Numbnuts Quayle, Quayle, Quayle at sjcdc.org. And at that website, sjcdc.org, South Jersey Clinic Defense Coalition, you can check out an article entitled Theocracy and Sexual Freedom. The Reverend is available for weddings of couples or groups of any orientation or lifestyle, including those from the transgendered or kink communities, outside or across the street from Catholic fundamentalist or any other Taliban-modeled theocratic church. And speaking of weddings, the pictures of the wedding that was a couple of shows ago of Lady Simone, former crush and very close friend, and her beefcake honey, brother Eric, are in, and it showed how much fun that show was, and I'm excited that we just got the wedding photos back. Lady Simone, you will see them very soon, and Blanket Man as well. And I forgot what a great photographer Lady Simone is, as well as artist and computer graphics and television productions person. So, a bit of uplifting news there. The recent wedding and now the wedding pictures from the show. We're dealing with a serious subject tonight, and the next couple of shows are going to be back to the old nature of the show, as they say. And I'm not sure how a forthcoming, soon-to-happen equipment overhaul is going to impact the show, if it's going to cause a postponement or push the themes back a week or so. But if everything happens as scheduled, next week on The Reverend Is In, Palm and Stroke Sunday, and that is an annual tradition, and we'll make it as special as the previous ones. So first show of April, Palm and Stroke Sunday, followed by another tradition that's worth keeping, Easter, what some people will do to get nailed. And that, too, will be extra special, followed by the Reverend's birthday show. And in May, another annual tradition for Memorial Day special. And flashing way forward to August coverage and entertaining the troops for the protests outside the Republican Convention in New York City with special correspondence from the one and only Pie Man from PieMan.org, and that ought to be quite interesting. The National Helpline that was referred to in the public service announcement from Ryan from Poison the Well is up and running 24/7 and can be utilized from anywhere in North America, and is 1-800-SUICIDE. And some of the money from the now three double CDs that are all good compilations called Plea for Peace. They're available from Sub City Records, and you can check all that stuff out at subcity.net. And there's some news that we're going to get to, and some updates. And the majority of the show is going to deal with the tribute to Dave Blood, as well as the subject of suicidality itself. If you want to see the now updated Dead Milkmen webpage, which has a lot about the forthcoming memorials and events that they're going to have in remembrance of Dave Blood, go to deadmilkmen.com. And I also have the original demo tape that came out pretty much at the very beginning of the band. It was at the earliest shows. It was about a year or two before the first album. It's a lot of the same songs, but kind of more raw versions and harder versions than a lot of their more classic songs. And since we had good luck with a cassette last week playing the Take Off Your Clothes song, we're going to play from Death Rides a Pale Cow, the original Dead Milkmen release, and some other Dead Milkmen recordings and solo recordings, and play some classics in remembrance of Dave Blood, whose actual name was Dave Schultes, who was 47 years old when he took his life. He was in the Dead Milkmen since 1983 with singer Rodney Anonymous, guitarist Joe Jack Talcum, and drummer Dean Clean. They had several albums, several videos that got big. They appeared on MTV a couple of times, other television shows. Tended to sell copies of their releases in six figures, and traveled pretty consistently, and toured, probably one of the biggest bands to come out of the Philadelphia underground. And the band split up for the final time around 1995, and one of the last recordings was a live release from the mid-90s, and we're going to hear a little from that as well. And it was one of their farewell shows at the Trocadero in Philadelphia, and so we'll hear the beginning and the end of the band. A lot of Dave's history kind of parallels mine. After punk, going back to school and going through academia, he finished a master's program in economics at Temple University in Philadelphia, and was a PhD candidate in economics at Purdue University, studied Serbo and Croatian culture at Indiana University, and I believe that was also reflective of his ethnicity. And he went to Serbia in 1998 to teach English. He returned home to Pennsylvania during the NATO bombings of the former Yugoslavia and vowed to return around 1999, and to quote him, to experience the rebuilding of a country. That never happened. Dave went through a number of downturns in life in his final year, culminating this last January with the death of his mother, Margie, who died of cancer. There are not a lot of indicators of what was going through his head at the end. except like a kind of a vague note that said that he could not stand to go on any longer, and he passed away. I guess one of the things that makes it shocking is that he was one of the people that this would not be expected from. Not to say that highly intelligent people are not candidates for suicide, but to say that Dave was consistently calm, consistently rational. There were little to no indicators through the years that it would end this way. And even though it's usually unpredictable what is going to happen with any person, however rational or however most of their life is lived, it was a shock because there are some people whom it would be substantially less shocking, people who go through a number of negative time periods, and people who have a few breaks and providing indicators that they are kind of in an alert zone and need to be watched and followed up on a little bit more. But it happened a week and a half ago, and it was a shock, and the Reverend wants to send love and support and wishes of healing to the three surviving members of the Dead Milkmen. Dave's sister Kathy, who is doing most of the planning of the memorials. The other family members, Dave's friends, everybody who knew him, and everybody who is in any degree affected by this. And if this subject tonight is not relevant immediately to some listeners, there is a possibility that it will be in the future. So like other heavy shows that have been done in the past, we'll let this serve as a planting of seeds so that you are better equipped to deal with the subject should it ever creep up on yourself, or should it ever impact you because of another person whom you are close to, or if it has already in the past affected a person with whom you are close to. Alright, I'm going to save the heavy stuff for later, and we're going to talk about suicidality, and it is not to be construed as formal clinical counseling or anything of the sort. It is subjective, and it is strictly my perspective on the subject. The Reverend, if you're a new listener, is, during the week, a mild-mannered social worker who has, in the resume, worked extensively in developmental disabilities, mental illness, drug addiction, homelessness, AIDS, and a number of other related work, and this has been a subject that has been in my life pretty much since birth, and has impacted up to the recent past, up to the suicide of Dave Blood, and the Reverend is currently dealing with a couple, both of whom are friends, who are divorcing, and one person not doing very well, even at this present day. So it is a highly relevant subject to me, and I decided that this themed show would try to deal with it as deeply and as substantively as possible. I'll cover a little bit of news, play some music, and then we'll deal with that subject. And also play some Dead Milkmen songs, some solo songs, and some other material if there is time before the end of the show. And as usual, I overplanned and have a million items of notes. And thank you, Coffee Goddesses, and St. Anne from the Reverend's professional circles for your input. Alright, we covered the wedding pictures, which was a little bit of good news. And other good news, DOA is currently touring and keeping their 25-year anniversary thing going. And recently played a show and took the stage with one of the best political analysis and public speakers in North America, Noam Chomsky. And kind of wish the Reverend caught that show. You could check out DOA, their tour schedule, and Joe Keithley's book at their label, Sudden Death Records, suddendeath.com. And I don't know how updated it is, but they just did a show and took the stage with Noam Chomsky. Let's see. You can get coverage about an event called Bohemian Grove. And this became news. It was news throughout the 80s, actually, during the Reagan, Meese, and Falwell era of family values and moral crusaders and killing the 60s and 70s and Christian supremacy and everybody must be sex negatives and all of these people, as well as the pillars of corporate America and wealth, going to places like Bohemian Grove, these gatherings that had all kinds of what would be one of the words they would use, decadence and sins of pleasure. And it became news again when the Nazis were in power in the 90s, and a lot of religious right figureheads in government. And it is news again in the cyber age, and that's of course always entertaining whenever there's moral crusaders providing juicy scandals. And there's a great index of Bohemian Grove reportage, and that's at sonic.net. Go to sonic.net/tilde, which is to the left of numeral 1 on the keyboard, shift. I had to be told. sonic.net/tilde.curry/bohemian. And you'll get Bohemian Grove reportage, and that's actually highly entertaining. And a book burner sent what he or she claimed to be an original joke, which was, and the Reverend agreed to share this with the book burners, and if you want to give feedback, please do, and we'll tell this book burner from North America to continue thinking up more jokes, which was, why does the first lady shave her bush? Because she's afraid he'll cut himself. If you like this book burner's joke, let me know, quail@sjcdc.org, and we will pass along to that book burner that your jokes are doing good on the show. This is also the anniversary of Three Mile Island, the nuclear accident outside Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, in other cheery news. And we'll talk about that a little more during Palm and Stroke Sunday, because there's way too much to cover tonight. So we're going to save the TMI anniversary for next week. And let's see, there was a recent death in Pennsylvania of a porn star, and I'm not sure the details of the story. I heard about this from somebody at work, And the way I understand it, they were either going to do some kind of bizarre tape, or they intentionally wanted the tape to end in death. And, of course, the corporate media wants to play that up as like, this is what porn is all about, or this is what porn is like. And so the Reverend feels it is necessary to make distinctions between the different genres of adult entertainment and what the story is with these assholes who recently killed a woman in Pennsylvania, and I'm happy to report that they are caught. There's the regular adult porn, which is very controlled and very consensual, very directed, very choreographed. There's the kink element, which is also with a similar set of rules and protocol. It is to be consensual, even if somebody is into spanking or whipping. And the Reverend thanks his ex-girlfriend, the former dominatrix, who provided a lot of this kind of information. Largely role-playing, largely experimentation and play, and the mutually agreed upon standards of fun. And in video, that is to also be controlled, and with the use of safe words and with the consent of all parties. The already illegal snuff films, which means actual harming of a person and or the actual killing of a person, is an actual sickness and is done obviously without the person's knowledge, and is done by people who are murderers and are not to be confused with the other categories described. These people who did this are assholes and deserve anything that comes their way. They are caught, and I'll try to stay informed about that. I haven't been getting much email about this, so most of what I heard is what was said to me by people who heard the story. It was news around here for the first couple of days after it happened this past week. There's Bush regime news, speaking of murderers. There's Bush regime news. They are increasingly exposed for ignoring September 11th warnings, being very thoroughly informed about advanced warnings of September 11th, lying and covering up that fact after September 11th happened, and threatening and intimidating people to keep that secret after the fact. By now, a lot of people know about Richard A. Clark, former Bush regime aide. Hello. And his testimony at recent September 11th hearings, and his book that is selling very well anyway and doesn't need a plug, but I'm going to give it one anyway, in case people in book burn circles haven't heard about it yet, even though I'm sure most of you know of this. There is a book by Richard A. Clark entitled Against All Enemies, and this is certainly worth checking out and certainly worth supporting. And if you get a chance and have enough money to afford it, it's worth buying and keeping on the bestseller list and furthering the cause called for on this show, for not only exposing the Bush, but to further the cause of Lick Bush in 2004. The Pledge of Allegiance case, the Under God case, is heading for the Supreme Court. and that's being thought of in the corporate media as well as in religious right-wing circles. So the Reverend is going to repeat an old clue for public officials and the corporate media. That's right, a free clue for public officials and the corporate media. When you whine and throw your little tantrums about the under God issue in the pledge, now that it has become an issue again as it hits the Supreme Court, and you have trouble understanding why it is in the interests of constitutionality and every and any semblance of democracy and diversity to support having a more neutral, all-inclusive pledge and culture at large, then do this mental exercise to give you your first little clue on this subject, and that is to substitute under God with something that is outside of your belief system, be it one nation under Judaism, one nation under Allah, or one nation under Santa, or even better, under Satan. If some bozo said to you, well, we're not going to push our views on everybody, but we're going to put in our federal building one nation under Satan, and we're going to put it on money, and we're going to put it in the state capitol building, and we're going to put it behind the judge's bench, and we're going to put it all over, and of course inside the school system. But we do just want to have that to show that we are a nation of faith. A laughable notion to begin with, but since we're going to subscribe to that just for a minute, since we're going to show that we're a nation of faith, and that, believe me, the founding mothers and fathers are vomiting, if a deceased person can in fact vomit, then substitute those words with one nation under Satan, and let that serve as your first free clue from the Reverend, repeated tonight as that particular news story resurfaces and hits the headlines as the pledge case hits the Supreme Court. And there's news regarding anti-abortion child molester John Baldino. Three more victims have come forward. So John Baldino, friend of the Church of the New Covenant, Grace Bible Church, the Young Life Christian Youth Group, from which he did his abuses, another act that leads to rampant mental illness and suicidality and trauma. That John Baldino, and friend of the Center for Bioethical Reform, and friend of some people currently active at the Columbus, New Jersey Baptist Church from columbusbaptistchurch.org, still actively and viciously harassing women's clinics in this area. That John Baldino, arrested and charged for pedophilia. Now three more victims have come forward, and we'll keep you posted and updated about that. I told you this would be a cheery show. And the Unborn Victims of Crime Act passed in Congress, waiting for George W. Numbnuts Taliban wannabe Bush to sign it. Now, in case it needs to be told to any book burners, the Unborn Victims Act is more than a little bit of a bullshit bill. It is not a necessary bill, and it is strictly a Taliban-influenced, women-hostile bill for the express purpose of setting a legal precedent to provide personhood status for a fetus to further future anti-abortion legislation. It is an act in which all who support it prove that what they're really about is sucking Bin Laden's dick with such an anti-abortion and anti-woman piece of legislation. What the bill is it makes it a special crime if a person victimizes a pregnant woman, and adding an additional charge of attacking the fetus. It is already a crime to perpetrate violent crime against any person. It is already a crime to perpetrate violence against anybody unless you're in government. Adding this to the bill, we're adding this bill to the criminal justice system, and I use those terms loosely, is strictly for not only propaganda purposes, but also to change the political maneuvering and legislative maneuvering in the effort to make us more Taliban-like and move closer towards passing additional anti-abortion legislation. So, a message from the Reverend to Osama bin Laden. This is what you are, Osama bin Laden. What you are is a political consultant, a very influential consultant to the United States Congress and to the Bush regime. So I'm sure they'll be sending you a thank you note thanking you for your tremendous degree of influence on the American legislative process, in particular, and most recently, for this Unborn Victims of Crime Act. Okay, the playlist is coming from last show, the Celebration of Right to Privacy Day. Thank you, people, for providing feedback to that. The feedback from Bill Baird and Joni Scott of the Pro-Choice League was very positive, and they thank the show and all of you out there and everybody who celebrated Right to Privacy Day. And if you missed the show, check out ProChoiceLeague.com, and again thank Bill Baird for fighting a case all the way to the Supreme Court in 1972 legalizing birth control for non-married people. And please spread this information everywhere, since information is not free-flowing any longer, about RU486, otherwise known as the abortion pill, and ECP, also known as emergency contraception, accessible from abortionaccess.com. Or is it .org? Abortionaccess.org or .com. Alright. Pretty much covered the news, and pretty much covered the plugs, and we did the Bush joke. So, we're gonna pay further tribute to Dave Blood, and we're going to discuss the subject of suicidality, and there's way too much written here, there's way too many notes that have been accumulating since a couple of days after the death of Dave Schultes, known as Dave Blood, when he was in the Dead Milkmen, and you've been hearing curved air in the background. one of the last of the psychedelic bands from 1972. Their, what is this called? Phantasmagoria release. An early birthday present given to the Reverend. And thank you, Book Burner, who provided that. We're going to play a Dead Milkmen track. This is going to go out to everybody affected by the recent suicide of Dave Blood. And the show is dedicated to the memory of Dave Blood. It's from the late 80s. It's a couple of albums into their history. The album is called Beelzebubba. It's one of their better ones, actually. And this track is one of their better known tracks and is entitled Punk Rock Girl.
One Saturday I took a walk to Zipperhead. I met a girl there and she almost knocked me dead. Punk Rock Girl, please look at me. What do you see? Let's travel around the world, just you and me, Punk Rock Girl. I tapped her on the shoulder and said, do you have a bell? She looked at me and smiled and said she did not know. Punk Rock Girl, give me a chance. Let's go slam dance to a dress like Minnie Pearl, just you and me, Punk Rock Girl. We went to the Philly Pizza Company and ordered some hot tea. The waitress said, well, no, we only have it iced. So we jumped up on the table and shouted anarchy. And someone played a Beach Boys song on the jukebox. It was California Dreamin', so we started screaming on such a winter's day. She took me to her parents for a Sunday meal. Her father took one look at me and he began to squeal. Punk rock girl, it makes a sense. Your dad is the vice president, Rich as the Duke of Earl. Yeah, you're for me, punk rock girl. We went to a shopping mall and laughed at all the shoppers. And security guards trailed us to a record shop. We asked for Mojo Nixon. They said, he don't work here. We said, if you don't got Mojo Nixon, then you sure could use some fixing. We got into a car, away we started rolling. I said, how much you pay for this? Said, nothing, man, it's stolen. Punk rock girl, you look so wild. Let's have a towel. You and me, eat fudge, banana, squirrel, just you and me. We'll come around the world, just you and me, punk rock girl.
This next song is from the last live release, Live at the Trocadero, the Dead Milkmen, Chaos Rules. And this goes out to Taliban wannabe, anti-abortion, and general buffoon who was a public official in the early 90s in beautiful Pennsylvania here, Stephen Friend. And he said things as stupid as Dan Quayle and later George W. Numbnuts Bush, and saying that a rape victim can't get pregnant because of the secret hormones that come out, and other idiotic and utterly appalling statements for somebody who's not tied up in a rubber room and shot up with medication, but somebody who is in a public office. So the Dead Milkmen decided to make fun of him during the show. In the spoken introduction that leads to one of their best known songs. So, this is the Dead Milkmen giving their anti-tribute to Taliban wannabe and anti-choice politician Stephen Friend. Play.
Isn't it great to see all these girls run up and kiss a 30-year-old fat balding man?
Yeah. the place.
Okay, this next song is from the Metaphysical Graffiti release, one of the later releases, and the references to the radio stations is to these corporate rock bullshit stations. I'm sure you have them out your way, people outside of Philadelphia area. They call themselves Classic Rock or The Rock Station and other corporate horrors. And the Dead Milkmen did song for WMMR, WYSP, and a college station from the University of Pennsylvania that in the 80s did not suck until it was taken over by a corporate buffoon named Mark First. And that's called WXPN. So the XPN reference is a reference to them, YSP and MMR to the schlock rock stations. This is from Metaphysical Graffiti, and this is entitled The Big Sleazy Play.
Take it, boy! Yeah, my sister's really moving up in the world. She dates a full-blown professor. Goes by the name of Professor Griff. He's a great guy, he's a good old boy. That wild old Professor Griff. I think he's a history professor. The other day he told me the wildest story about the history of jewelry. Anyway, come nightfall, we all love to sit on the porch and Sis plays the banjo, I play the jug, and Professor Griff breaks out his Jew's harp and just flails away. God, I love that guy.
Just play the block of the boss for the guys at the sandal store.
Oh, man, look.
the block of Fleetwood Mac to the guys at the granola factory. But I'll tell you what, how about if I send you a $20,000 gift certificate from Bob and Jerry's World of Weird Colors?
This next song is from Dead Milkmen vocalist Rodney's band after the demise of the Dead Milkmen. For a long time, and possibly to this day, Rodney and his wife, Vienna, have been in Burn Witch Burn, whom the Reverend saw, and they're good. They're very different. They're very Celtic influenced. There's flute and violin and all these different instruments that are also used in their band. A tin whistle, a mandolin, as well as guitar, bass, and drums. And this is from, I believe, the one and only Burn Witch Burn CD, which came out in 2000. This particular track is Ruffy Tuffy, and then there's a slash, so I guess it's a medley. Ruffy Tuffy slash At Work in the Factories of the Lord. Okay, let's play from the Big Mess Orchestra. This was also a 90s phenomenon in Philadelphia. It was a large operation with all kinds of musicians, horn section, different folk singers taking the lead, a couple of drag queens, all kinds of cover songs and lounge versions of classic rock tunes. And in the music section, two former members of the Dead Milkmen, a fantastic stage show that hopefully will come across on the recorded tracks. We'll start with the Big Mess theme. This is from the Big Mess Orchestra. Thank you. Okay, you heard the Big Mess Orchestra doing the Big Mess theme and Smoke on the Water. Burn Witch Burn did Ruffy Tuffy at Work in the Factories of the Lord. The Dead Milkmen did the Big Sleazy from the Metaphysical Graffiti release. And from the live Dead Milkmen CD, you heard Bitchin' Camaro, Where the Tarantula Lives, and Right Wing Pigeons. And started off with the Dead Milkmen from the Beelzebubba release, Punk Rock Girl. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In, and tonight is a tribute to the late Dave Blood, who played bass in the Dead Milkmen. And there was a whole lot more to him, but that was how he was best known. And in the background is the Big Mess Orchestra with ex-Dead Milkmen performing in it. And I just looked at the time, and I'm cutting out a whole lot. I'm saving Asshole of the Week for next week and miscellaneous other stuff. I'm going to do a couple of plugs and get into this, and then I promised early Dead Milkmen releases. So if this cassette machine works, you'll hear the original. If not, I promise this will be played when there is a functioning cassette machine in this studio in beautiful Philadelphia. And also I'll let you know when, if there's warning about an equipment overhaul, whatever that is, and whether or not that will lead to the postponement of future shows in the forthcoming weeks. A couple quick plugs and then we'll get into this. Al Giordano's site is back up again. Independent reporting of Central and South America. That's at Narco News, N-A-R-C-O, narconews.com. To contribute a song to the forthcoming Bands Against Bush compilation release, go to punkvoter.com or bandsagainstbush.com. You can get Jello Biafra's spoken word releases, all kinds of music and spoken word releases, including Benefit and great compilations at alternativetentacles.com. Check out the anti-Bush ads and information at moveon.org. To support medical marijuana exile in Canada, Steve Cubby and his family, go to Cubby, K-U-B-B-Y.com. Legal information from ACLU.org. And check out Paul Krasner's books and CDs at Paul Krasner, K-R-A-S-S-N-E-R, paulkrasner.com. All right, those are the essential plugs. Skipping Asshole of the Week, a Three Mile Island thing. Alright, skipping everything except the closing credits. Alright, turning off Big Mess Orchestra. Gonna play a woman in the background. She's no stranger here at Radio Volta. She is active in Philadelphia ACT UP, an AIDS activist organization, since the 80s. And is a performance artist and a singer, and this is from her Plague Mass CD that she did after years of AIDS activism. Her name is Diamanda Galas, and somebody had this here in the Radio Volta studio that I've been eyeing for a couple of weeks, and we'll play her in the background. Tonight this show is dedicated to the memory of Dave Blood, and it's not just that somebody died before his time, but that he is somebody who took his own life. And suicidality, like I said, has been extensive in my life pretty much since birth, and it is something relevant in my professional life, it's relevant in my family, it's relevant in people I've known, and I grew up admiring several people who eventually killed themselves, Abbie Hoffman, Phil Oakes, a number of others. And I am still in shock over the death of Dave Blood. And I chose to do this theme, and I believe it is relevant to all listeners from any and all walks of life, because suicidality is relevant. Even the person who goes through life completely blissful and problem-free. Thank you. You're very kind. Hello, Dante from Philadelphia Independent Media Center, who blew the Reverend a kiss. We are going to talk about suicidality in the wake of the death of Dave Blood. And there's probably a day and a half worth of notes here, so I want to cover the basics and say that Dave probably went through most of his life, like other people who commit suicide, not in a pre-suicidal state. So an event or a series of events or a state of being progressed to the point that he reached a stage of hopelessness and a sense that there was no road back. Now, I don't believe myself to be an expert on this subject or on anything to do with depression and the road back, but I'm offering my thoughts as a person who lived it both professionally and personally. And my individual conclusion is that no matter what any person says to you, or no matter what negativity is out there in the world at large, and in an increasingly ugly world, there is a road back. There were times when the Reverend did not object to the suicide of another person. People who had full-blown AIDS, people who had advanced stages of cancer that was inoperable, and certain other mitigating circumstances in which the people who would force suffering on that person proved themselves to be assholes, and usually with a larger religious or political agenda. But no agenda is worth anything. The person in question is what matters most. And anybody who does not put people before ideology or belief systems or value systems ought to rethink their personal philosophy and how much humanity they have in fact lost. And even if they have lost their humanity or temporarily lost it, they should think about the road back to reclaiming it and getting it back. However, suicidality in most cases can be reversed. And the first fact of the matter is that there is a road back. And usually what that means is some kind of intensive journey with the person. And that doesn't necessarily mean a mental health professional. It means whatever the formula, whatever the recipe necessary, that can be through conventional or unconventional means. It could be with or without medication. And since we're doing independent media, and since we try to break new ground and be a lot more of substance and a lot more depth than the bullshit corporate media or corporate entertainment worlds, let's explore this in a different manner. And say, and also cut through the crap a lot more. A lot of the world condition becomes normalized, not just politically, but also in terms of social services. People say, well, since it's the age of managed care, and since there is limited time and limited resources and things underfunded and a lot of things that are only have 5 minutes per person, and we have to become funneling mechanisms and marketing representatives of the pharmaceutical industry. So see them for 5 minutes and write a script, or send them to some faith-based bullshit operation, or send them to somebody who will train them how to hallucinate magic higher Santa powers, the passion of the Santa. But in reality, services were meant to be taking that journey with the person. That means, where is that person coming from, and can you get inside that person's head, and what is the recipe for the road back? What is the formula for collaboratively riding with that person on the road back? Because the fact of the matter is, pain and rage are deep, and even though the first and highest impulse in a human is for life and compassion and living a healthy and balanced life, somehow a person crossed a line and are in a state of absolute hopelessness. And that is what you, the caregiver, are up against, or the person caregiving you is up against. So we're going to cut through the crap, not just in social services world, but also just in terms of popular myths and misperceptions about what people are going through. So the pronouncements of the clueless are irrelevant. The pronouncements of people who judge are irrelevant. And I can't even tell you how offended I was when advocating for a client, hearing a buffoon who was prominent in society and in the legal system say that once a person is mentally sick, then they always will be. So buffoons are not allowed to define a person. They are not allowed to define you, and they're not allowed to define your loved one who is going through this. Their words are irrelevant and unworthy of any form of consideration. The fact of the matter is, no person is frozen in their current state of being, similar to the fact that your physical being and your state of medical health is not frozen as is. You take the road back. You take medicine, or you do physical therapy, or you do whatever you can to fight that flu, to fight that illness, to fight that toothache, to fight anything, and you find what is necessary and you do it. The mind is more complex, so the road back is complicated, but the central point to take in is that a person is not frozen, and that there is always an up to get to, and there is always a means of getting forward. And finding that is the first challenge. So we disregard the words of buffoonery, and we do not normalize the state of social services and managed care and the absolute evil American insurance industries, and a really sucky operation called Magellan Mental Health Insurance that a lot of people in the psych hospitals depend upon. We do not normalize the lack of resources. We only say we have a challenge ahead and we're going to find it. And that doesn't mean that normalizing and limitations and lack of resources make any agency or any kind of clinic or service provider bad. It's to say that we recognize what it is, and we recognize the conditions of these times. And it is absolutely not necessary for a person to become a cultist to end a drug addiction or alcoholism, or to come out of a bad mental space. In the background, you were hearing Diamanda Galas from her release, Plague Mass. And we're talking about suicidality in the wake of the suicide of former bass player of the Dead Milkmen, Dave Blood, for those who tuned in late. And we are talking about how a person is not frozen as is, and that there is always an up and always a forward. So if a person is reacting to the tragedy of others, life circumstances deteriorating, survival crises, heartbreak crises, or if it's something that crept up and bit them in the ass for some kind of chemical or genetic root or something even unexplainable, then that's what we're working with, and we are looking for the right formula individually tailored to bring that person out of the well and back. And I want to say that this is not based on any belief system or ideology, because actually all beliefs and ideologies and value systems on one certain level are bullshit, and anybody can take a leave of absence from their belief and value systems when they plunge into a dark space. So we're not pushing any belief or value system, nor are we saying that a person is odd when they go outside of it. The Reverend knows free thinkers who counted on supernatural means, or at least considered it when desperate, and the Reverend has known people with hardcore belief systems who took leaves of absence from that when times became exceptionally challenging. On the road back, there's a fact that needs to be acknowledged, and that is that we are emotional and sexual animals, and for the cause of taking the road back or bringing another person on the road back, those things need to be minimized to the fullest extent possible. It's okay that we are emotional animals, but for the time being, during disastrous times, that needs to be minimized as much as possible for the things that matter. And there are two things that matter: ideas and action. So the less heightened emotion, the better. And the less that a kind of a second tier of need is minimized, the better for the road back. And whatever a person's lifestyle regarding partying goes, that is not for me, or that's not for anybody else to dictate to you, and it's not for the system to dictate to you, but at the very least, the same standards that apply to harm reduction, which is no dirty needles and always use condoms and minimize harm for whatever it is you are going to do anyway, the standard is, while in a disastrous time, don't touch anything. Do not touch alcohol, do not touch drugs during a disastrous time. Do not exacerbate the problem. Save it for next New Year's, or save it for the next time somebody lights up your world. However, it is important for a person to remain active, including finding some kind of release or mechanism, including any of the arts, be it music, be it writing, be it independent media, be it anything, some kind of expressiveness and release, not just working extra hours, not just doing volunteer work, not just doing your causes or whatever you are into. including writing a journal, including writing things that are relevant to the experience as it is happening. If you do become a part of the social services system or the mental health system, and your particular experience is with one or more people who are less than humane, it is in the interest of going forward to walk away and go elsewhere, because there is only one priority, and that is you going forward. There's way too much on this subject. It's hard to know what to say to the people who did survive this, to Rodney, to the other members of the Dead Milkmen, except to say that we do need to mourn. And we do need to go through this experience and process it and actually do whatever rituals are chosen. We need to get it out. It needs to be done rather than keeping it in when there is a tragedy like this, and that it's not okay for, you know, the Hamlet's... Hamlet syndrome, where one ends up mourning internally for a prolonged period, a longer than healthy period, and for you to take your own roads back. Do not feel that you are frozen in a deep state of mourning, even if it's a death that touches you for the rest of your life. Mental health is not the absence of stress, it's not the absence of tragedy, and it is not the absence of pain, but the manageability of it. And that is what we want to see you return to when the time comes. For now, it is time to acknowledge the memory, to honor Dave, and to do the rituals, the services, whatever events are going to happen, and to continue what you're already doing at the webpage, deadmilkmen.com, which is being done in a fantastic way. Dave Blood's life, and I feel strongly about this, and I'm running out of time, and there's like 150 more pages of notes, but I want to be sure to say that Dave's life is not defined by this act. There is so much more to him than a final phase of life in which he was not able to return to us from the state he was in. His life is not defined by this act. He was a great person, and we honor him. We acknowledge what a great person he was. We acknowledge how much fun it was to see him in the music scene and outside of the music scene. And we want to say that underneath all pain, all sad times, all raging times, underneath it all, the natural human state is a joyous and high energy. And I'm saying that not just to the people I'm trying to support at present day, but as a permanent and lifelong message. And that is at the end of the road, when we're taking the road back, that is what we are returning to, that life energy, that high energy, that joyous energy. That is the road back. And to not lose one's humanity, or to get it back if it is lost. So I want to say again, sending support and love to the other band members, to Dave Schultes' family, to the everybody who knew him, and to everybody in any way affected by this. We're going to turn off Diamanda Galas and play some of the original Dead Milkmen tracks from the Death Rides a Pale Cow release, and then maybe some closing songs as well. This is the very first Dead Milk... I shouldn't even announce it in case this fucking thing doesn't work, but if this works, this is the very first recordings of the Dead Milkmen, starting with Labor Day.
Make it go away. on, Jack. What's happening?
I don't know.
Well, room around town says you're thinking about heading down to the shore.
Yeah, I'm thinking about going to the shore.
Going down for senior week?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm 27 years old, and I never miss a senior week.
Oh, really? What are you going to do down there?
Well, I don't know. Might go to the sandbar.
What's the sandbar?
Oh, that's a place that lets a 16-year-old drink.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, really vicious. Hey, Crystal Ship will be there. They'll be doing the door show.
Keep your eyes on the road, your hands upon the wheel. Keep your eyes on the road, your hands upon the wheel. Going through the roadhouse, looking for something to steal.
Yeah, it should be a bitchin' time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, can't wait to go down.
Well, how are you going down there?
Oh, I have a car now.
You got a car?
Yeah, my folks bought it for me.
What kind of car is it?
It's a bitchin' Camaro.
Bitchin' Camaro! Bitchin' Camaro! I ran over my neighbor. Bitchin' Camaro! Bitchin' Camaro! Down in all the neighbors.
Okay, these were tracks from Death Rides a Pale Cow, the very first release, the very first recordings ever by the Dead Milkmen, and this is from 1983. You heard the following, Bitchin' Camaro. Before that, VFW, Veterans of a Fucked Up World. Before that, I don't wanna, and that first track was Labor Day. All of that from Death Rides a Pale Cow, the original Dead Milkmen release. And this is close to the end of the show, so let's see, everything skipped will just be covered next week. Let's see, on Dr. Susie's show, you could see the Queen of Head or Susie from a Hooking for Jesus group, and she's going to do a show called Passion of the Kiss, the night before Easter at drsusanblock.com. If you want to write to me, write Rev Bookburn, care of Quail, Quayle, quail at sjcdc.org, and we will send the playlist for Right to Privacy Day any day now, and sorry that is late, and there'll be a playlist and show write-up for tonight's show that is also forthcoming, so let me know if you want the playlist, or if you want to send ideas for forthcoming shows, or feedback for tonight's tribute to Dave Blood. The next show is Palm and Stroke Sunday, followed by Easter, What Some People Will Do to Get Nailed, followed by the Reverend's Birthday Show, at the end of May, the Memorial Day Show, and in August, coverage and entertaining the troops at the protests outside the Republican Convention, and with special correspondent Pie Man from pieman.org. The Reverend thanks the following for information, assistance, or just plain inspiration to the following. for tonight's tribute to Dave Blood show. Kenny, Amoeba, Lord Jesus, Secret Chimp, Marlon the Great Engineer, Ed Gold, Ms. Terry from RadioLeft.com, Lady Simone, Cindy WildflowerDesire.com, Everlasting Godstopper, Mac Goddess and Family, Lobo Red, St. Anne from The Reverend's Professional Life, Holy Bloody Mary, Brooke, Justin, Mr. Zvi and Spouse, Jen R. from Independent Media Research, Bipolar Bear, Plantard in the UK Bookburners, the European, Australian, Brazilian, Canadian, and Lebanese Bookburners, Allison, Hippie John, Raven, Sarah, Heidi Helper, Heidi Planner, the Coffee Goddesses, Dark Lady and her honey, and her new honey, Dr. Susan Block, Melanie from Dr. Susie's Show and Elegant Angel Video Productions, Dia Side, Renee Bryant, Paul Kresner, Pro-Choice League, all Clinic Defenders, Alicia from Washington, D.C., Clinic Defense, Jennifer Hunter, Pie Man, Full Circle Records in Blackwood, New Jersey, Wooden Shoe Books and Records on 5th Street in Philadelphia between South Street and Lombard, Joe Keithley and DOA from SuddenDeath.com, all of Radio Volta, Blanket Man, the two Washington outlets that broadcast the show, Dallas Blanchard, Book Burners Everywhere, and, of course, most of all, to the surviving members of the Dead Milkmen and the survivors and loved ones of Dave Blood. And let's play a song for him now. This is also by somebody who took his life, a 60s folk singer, Phil Oakes, killed himself in April 1976, and this version is from a box set of history of his recordings, Farewells and Fantasies, and this track is entitled When I'm Gone. Hang in there and good night.
Place in this world where I'll belong when I'm gone, and I won't know the right from the wrong when I'm gone, and you won't find me singing on this song when I'm gone, so I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. And I won't feel the flowing of the time when I'm gone. All the pleasures of love will not be mine when I'm gone. My pen won't pour a lyric line when I'm gone, so I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. And I won't breathe the bracing air when I'm gone, and I can't even worry about my cares when I'm gone. Won't be asked to do my share when I'm gone, so I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. And I won't be running from the rain when I'm gone, and I can't even suffer from the pain when I'm gone. Can't say who's to praise and who's to blame when I'm gone, so I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. Won't see the golden of the sun when I'm gone, and the evenings and the mornings will be one.
This is the Atheist Radio Network.